Today she is in Sechta Erechim Daf Chav Tes. We will begin on Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph at the top of Amud at the Braisa. So as we learned in our previous year, the Torah Kedosha speaks about two types of charamim, Chermei Kahanim and Chermei Bede Kabayis. Says our Braisa, Tana Rabbanan, Chermei Kahanim. When we speak about Chermei Kahanim, Ein Lahem Pidyon, unlike Chermei Bede Kabayis, which are essentially a form of Hegdish, and we know when we speak about Hegdish, you could be paid the Hegdish. So Chermei Bede Kabayis have all the rules, and we'll speak about this more later in our Shia in Mitzvah Hashem, where you could be paid to them. Chermei Kahanim are not like that, and therefore there is no Dira Pidyon. The Noisim Kohen, they must be actually given to the Kohen. Furthermore, however, says the Braisa, even though we're speaking about the Chermei Kahanim, Charamim, Kozman Shehem Beis Habalim, as long as the Charamim are still in the owner's home, Harein Kehegdish L'chol Devrayim, they are treated like Hegdish, Shenemar, Kol Cherim, Kodesh Kedoshim Hu L'Hashem, they have the status of Kodesh, and therefore a subject to the halachas of Mila. You know that the halacha is that if somebody has Hegdish and he uses it for his own purpose, there's an Isser of Mila b'Hegdish. And our Bryce is teaching us that until someone actually delivered the Charamim to the Chermei Kahanim, to the Kahanim, they would be subject to Hilchas Mila. Although I did see that the Mefarshim discuss that we know, we discussed this halacha, that the halacha is that one is obligated to, when somebody is ma'il behegdish, so after he's ma'il behegdish, the item that he was ma'il becomes chulin. What will be the halacha if somebody had in his possession chermei kohanim, which he was ma'il? Will they become chulin as soon as he was ma'il? Or, since they're really the property of the Kohanim, they still retain that level of Hegdish. Furthermore, I saw that the Mefarshim say that even though when we speak about Hegdish, so when we learned Mesechta B'Kamav, we learned the halacha is that Re'ehu V'loy Shal Hegdish, and therefore the halachas of Mi'ila, the halacha of Nezokin, do not apply by Hegdish. The question is, what will be the halacha by Chermei Kahanim? It seems that many are of the opinion that by Chermei Kahanim, the din will be that one is going to be chayif for being mazik the Chermei Kahanim. Nos l'kayin, once you give the charam to the kayin, harein l'chol devrein pechulim, at that point, the tree like chulin, shnemar kol chayim yisrael chayiyah. However, the Mefarshim do indicate, as we learned in our previous year, we're going to discuss this as well in our year today again, that the halacha is that the chermei kohanim are given to the kohanim of the mishmer of that week, and we learned the discussion that they then divided amongst themselves. What will be the halacha if the Chayrim was given to the Kahanim of that Mishmer, but they didn't yet divide it amongst themselves? Is it already considered Techulim L'chol Devrayim? Or perhaps, suggest the Mefarshim, until it's actually delivered to the Kahanim of that week, then and only then is it considered Techulim L'chol Devrayim, as our Braisa said. We learned in our Mishnah, a Machloikus of Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir and the Chachamim. Stam charamim. If somebody did not indicate what is the chayim that he's giving, what should it be? Rabbi Yehuda Seir's opinion was stam charamim lebedek abayis, based on the pasuk of kol chayim kodesh kedoshim hu l'Hashem. The Chachamim hold stam charamim lekahanim, as the pasuk says, k'steh chayim lekoyin tia achuzosay. Says the Gemara, Bishvam Rabbanan, when we speak about the opinion of Rabbanan, Kerefarish Tamayu, they explained why they hold Stam Charamim belong to the Kahanim. The Tanna Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseirah, they also have explained what they're going to do with the Pasuk that Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseirah used, as we learned at the end of our previous Mishnah. They use it to teach us that Charim could be Chal on Kachi Kachim and Kachim Kalim as well. Elor Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseirah, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseirah, asked the Gemara, Hai Kistaya Charim, my Ovidlei, what will he do with this Pasuk, Kistaya Charim, Kayim Tia? What will he use this Pasuk to teach? Answers the Gemara, the Baal HaKartan, he needs it to teach us what we learned in the following Braisa. The Pasuk says, Kistaya Charim, Kayim Tia, Huzasai, Ma Tamaloimer. What do we learn from this Pasuk? Menayin L'Kayim, Shehigdish Tei Charma. That a Kayim received a field as a Cheirim field, and then was Magdashit. And as the Mefarshim explained, we're specifically speaking about a situation, according to most Rishonim, where the Kayin was Magdish the field, not when the Kayin was Machram the field. Because the Mefarshim point out, as we learned in our previous year, a Kayin does not have the ability to be machram a field. So since a Kayin doesn't have the ability to be machram a field, we have to be speaking about a case where he was magdish the field. Although, I did see, and there are those that suggest that this is actually the opinion of the Rambam, that when is there a halacha that one, that a Kayin can't be, the halacha is that a Kayin cannot be machram a field that he received as a steyachuzah, that he received as a Yerusha. But in our situation, where it's a field that he received as a cheirim donation, there the halacha perhaps would be that the Kayin even has a right to be machram. But again, says the Braisa, Menayel Kayin Shehigdim Steychamah, he received a field as a cheirim field, and he was magdishit. He shouldn't make the following argument. When Yovel comes, we know that the field that are Hegdish, that this field would go to the Kahanim. As we learned, that if somebody's Magdish a Steyachuza and he's not Poided, it goes to the Kohen in the Yovel year. And here in Mefarshim debate, what does the Gemara mean with these words, Varehi Tachas Yodi? Some of Farshim say that the Gemara is referring to a situation where he was magdish the field, but never actually yet gave it to Hegdish. And therefore the words Varehi Tachas Yodi are very understandable. There are Mefarshim, however, say that we're not referring to a situation where he didn't give it to Hegdish, but even if he gave it to Hegdish, since Harehi Tachas Yodi, since he has, he says, this connection to this field, he has a real connection to the field because it was by him, therefore, he makes the argument that Teheshali, it should, when Yovel comes, I should be the one to get the entire field. When Yovel comes, it should be completely me, mine. V'dinhu, and the following argument he makes, B'shal Cheyman Yizoycha, if the halacha is a steyachuzah that became Hegdish, that wasn't redeemed, I get. And the Mefarshim explained, they were speaking about the Kayin who was, a member of the Mishmer that would get the, when Yovel comes, the field. Otherwise, his argument wouldn't be a valid argument. Furthermore, there are many Mefarshim that suggest that this Braisa is following the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, Machlokes we learned earlier in our Masechta, between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. What happens at the Yovel year? Does the field automatically go in the Yovel year to the Kayin, or must he pay? This Braisa seems to be following the opinion that he has to pay, and since he has to pay, he doesn't have to pay, so he makes the argument that it goes automatically to him. Although I did see Mefarshim that suggest that that argument is not necessarily compelling, and the Kohen still could say, even though I have to pay, I have a right to say that it should be by me, because I am going to be the one that's going to receive it. So we shall ask me, so this field which I was magdish, by Kolshkein, that I should get the entire field when Yovel comes. Tamalayma. Therefore the Pasuk has to teach us, Kistei Acherim Lakoyin Tia Huzasai, V'chi Ma Lamadnu Mistei Acherim Me'ata. So the Pasuk seems to be teaching us that we're going to learn a halacha by Stei Achuza from Stei Cherem. But ask the Gemara, what possible halacha is there to learn from Stei Cherem to Stei Achuza? V'chi ma lamadim Stei Cherem ato. What is there to learn from Stei Cherem to Stei Achuza? And therefore, because we can't come up with any such halacha, says the Gemara, Hareze ba'olamei v'nim salamei. This turns into one of the ways that the Torah is learned, that if you have a situation that one subject is the teacher and one subject is the student, where there is nothing to learn from the teacher to the student, we reverse the role. And we say that we're learning the halach of Stei Cherem from Stei Achuza. There's a Sefer Divrei Yisrael from the Majid Tzareba, and he has a chelik called Klolei Araisa. In his Sefer Klolei Araisa, he explains this type of lomay, this type of limud, in the category of metalmidai yoyse mikulam. In our pasuk, the pasuk seems to be teaching, saying that Cherem will be the Talmud and Stei Achuza will be the Rebbe, but we're reversing the roles, like metalmidai yoyse mikulam, to teach us ma Stei Cherem, just like by Stei Cherem, as we've learned. That the Stei Achuza, that Yisrael was magdish, becomes the property of all of the Kahanim of that Mishmer. As Stei Cherem, so too this Stei Cherem, even though it started by the Kohen, Yoytz Metachas Yodai and Meschalekis Lecha Kahanim, it's divided amongst all of the Kahanim of that Mishmer. That's what the Yehuda B'Beseira learns from this pasuk. But ask the Gemara, the Rabbanim who used this pasuk to say that Stam Charomim Lukahanim, where will they know this halacha from? Answers the Gemara, Idach, the Rabbanim will learn it from Cherem HaCherem, from the extra hay. Vidach, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Cherem HaCherem Loi Mashmoi. He doesn't learn from the extra hay. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, ask the Gemara, but Rabbanim have used the pasuk of Kol Cherem Kodesh Kedoshim Hu Lashem to teach us the Chal, the Cherem is Chal HaKotcha Kotcha VaKotcha Kalim Menolei, from where will he know that halakha, or from where will he know that halakha? Answers the Gemara, Savalik Rabbi Shmuel. He learns it from where Rabbi Shmuel learns it, in the Mishnah at the bottom of this Amid. Amarav Pastin's wrath, halacha Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, that stam charomim off of Badik Abayis. Ask the Gemara, Rav, shavik rabbonon, bavik Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, does Rav ignore the opinion of the rabbonon and follow the opinion of Yehuda ben Beseira? So Mepharshim asks, why does the Gemara find this so troubling? Rav has a right to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, and even though, of course, as the Mepharshim explained, typically we go bust the rabbin, and the rabbanim are the rabbin versus Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, that doesn't mean that Rav doesn't have a right, when he sees fit, to follow the yachid, in this case being Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira versus the rabbin. So I saw that the Mepharshim explained, besides the fact, as we've just been saying, that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is the Yochid, and they're the Rabbim, and the Rabbanim are the Rabbim, the explanation, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is somewhat difficult to understand and agree to. Why? Because they say as follows. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is saying, Stam Charomel Badik Abayis, Rabbanim hold Stam Charomel Kahanim. Now, if somebody wants to be magdish to the Beit HaKavayis, why would he say, Cheirim? He would have said Hegdish. Isn't the fact that he said the word Cheirim an indication, say the Mefarshim, that he means Kohanim? And therefore, besides the fact that the Rabbanon represent the Rabbin, Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira's, the Rabbanon's opinion is the more logical opinion, answers the Gemara, the reason the Rav Pastons like Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, because Bryce Ifchatanya. We have a Bryce that reverses the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira and the Rabbanon. Ask the Gemara, Shavik Masnisa v'Avik Kabraisa, does Rav prefer the Girsa of a Braisa over the Mishnah? Don't we always say that the Mishnayis are more authoritative than the Braises? Answers the Gemara, Rav Masnisa Nami Ifkatani. Rav reversed the opinions in our Mishnah as well. Ask the Gemara, persist the Gemara, My chazas, the apus masnisim atami braisa. Why would Rav reverse the opinions stated in our Mishnah because of the gears of the braisa? Doesn't it make more sense, napich braisa atami masnisim, that it should reverse the opinions in the braisa because of the gears in the Mishnah? Therefore, says the Gemara Rav Gemara Gamer. Rav had a Kabbalah that this is the way the opinions are to be stated. That it is Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira that says Stam Charomim. That is Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira that says Stam Charomim Le Koyin, and Rabbanon holds Stam Charomim Le Beit HaKavayis. Ask the Gemara, so why is he saying that he's passing like Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira? If he has the opinions of our Mishnah reversed, so Rabbanon, by the way, so he should say that he passes like the Rabbanon. Says the Gemara, Hachikam, this is what Rav meant to say. Amai da apcha v'tenisu, according to the girsa that you have, that walkas krib Yehuda ben Seira. But I say that that is not really the opinion of Yehuda ben Seira, that is really the opinion of the Rabbanon. Says the Gemara, who gave that kaminel in the Pumbedisa? There was an individual who in Pumbedisa made all of his property into a chayim. Also kamed Rav Yehuda. And now he came to Rabbi Yehuda with a shayla, what should he do? Amalei, so he told him, Shkol arba zuzei, take 4 coins, v'achla aleihu, and be poida the property, v'shtirim b'nahara, and take those 4 coins and put them into the river, v'lishtrulach, and then afterwards your cheirim will be taken away. So the Rishonim asked, and we've learned the Gemara to Gemara Masechta, by the Zohar to Gemara Masechta Erechim. It appears in a number of places throughout Shas that if somebody was Magdish, Bezman Hazeh, the halacha is that he, if it's an animal, he should let the animal die. If it's food, he should let it rot. And the Gemara never suggests that we should just be poited them. Why here is it being suggested that we should be part of this property? So most Rishonim respond that here we're talking about real estate. And real estate we can't just leave to rot. Real estate remains forever. So where we're talking about metaltlin or animals or food that can be left to rot, that is the preferable. Where we're talking about property, that option isn't available, and therefore we should be paid them. Another teretz that I saw is, as we're going to learn in a moment, the basis for being able to be paid them, even though we're being paid them on a less, lot less than the value, is of the statement of Shmuel, and that the statement of Shmuel, the halach of Shmuel, was only said when the owners are being paid them, the original owner, not anyone else. Here we're speaking about those gemaras refer. But it's not the original owner being paid to them, it's someone else, and therefore this option of Shmuel doesn't exist. Or along the same line, the original owner isn't there, and therefore we can't be paid to them less than the value. Another way that the Rishonim explain is that originally the halacha is, as our Gemara indeed indicates, that you could be paid to them on any amount of money. However, this that Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah and Erchin is only a later knas from Chazal that they were concerned that people shouldn't be magish b'zman hazeh. That's why they say if you are magish b'zman hazeh, that will be the repercussion. Says the Gemara, Alma, it's obvious that it is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that Kesavah stam charamim by the Kabbayis. Because if the charamim belonged to Hegdish, this obviously would not be an option. Says the Gemara further, Kaman, this opinion that says that you could just take this Hegdish and be paid on four Zuzim, how could such be done? Says the Gemara, it's obviously following the opinion of Shmuel, the Omar, whose Shmuel's opinion is that Hegdish Shava Mana Shechila Shava Pruta, if you have a Hegdish, even a very expensive Hegdish, that you redeem just on a Pruta, the Loch is Mechol, it's redeemed. And the reason Shmuel holds this way is because since we know, the Gemara says, that ain't a Noah la Hegdish, that by Hegdish there is no rule of a Noah. So just like there's no rule of a Noah by Hegdish, similarly there is no rule of that. It's not considered like it has a real value. And since it's not considered like it has a real value, even if you take the most expensive item and you paid it on a Shavu Pruta, it's considered redeemed. But again, as we said a moment ago, that halacha, according to most Rishonim, was only said when the owner himself is being paid it, not anyone else. Ask the Gemara, Eimadam Shmuel, when did Shmuel say that such an approach is acceptable? Shecheloi, if it was done. But ask the Gemara, L'chatchila mi'omar, did Shmuel suggest that L'chatchila you could take an expensive item and redeem it just on Repruta and it will be satisfactory? Answers the Gemara, when did Shmuel say that this should not be done L'chatchila? Hani mili, this matcha base of Middash Kaim, when the base of Middash is standing, Dikip Seda, because it represents a loss to that Beis HaMikdash if you're being paid for less than its value. But b'zman hazeh, when a Beis HaMikdash is not standing, afilu chatchila, because it doesn't represent the loss, we have no Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately, to whom to give the Hegdash anyway. The Mefarshim, the Rishonim debate, will it be valid even on less than a Shava Pruta, or do you, according to Shmuel, at least have to have a Shava Pruta? But ask the Gemara, Yilach HaFilu Pruta Namin, so why do you have to have four Zuzim? It could be, according to Shmuel, if we're following Shmuel's opinion, that a Pruta should be also enough. Answers the Gemara, you're right. Technically, a Pruta is indeed enough. The reason Shmuel insisted on four Zuzim was only Pesumei Milsa, that it should be known to everyone that this is what's happening, and not that the person had a Cheirim and he completely chose to ignore him. Ula, but Ula Paskins, Ihavoy Hossam, were I to be there, have given the Kula Kahanim. I would have given them all to the Kahanim. Because Alma, obviously, it is the opinion of Ula, that Stam Charamim, when somebody doesn't identify what he means with a Cheirim, it goes to the Kohanim. That is the opinion of Ula. So the Mefarshim ask, how could he have suggested that it should go to the Kohanim? Obviously, in the time from Bedisa, it's going to be as clear in the Gemara, and will become more clear in the Gemara, Mitzvah, the Beis HaMikdash was no longer standing. So there were no Kohanim, there were no Mishmairis. And we learned in our previous shiur that the Cheirim property is divided up amongst the Kohanim of the Mishmar. So how could the Gemara here say he would have given it to the Kohanim? So I saw a number of answers in the Rishonim to this question. Some say what Ula meant to say is, I would give it to the Kohanim if I know who they are. But indeed, if I don't know who the Kohanim are, I won't give it. Another pshat I saw is that even after the Churban Habayis, the Kohanim were careful to keep track of
when their Mishmar was. And therefore, they knew which week was which Mishmar. Another pshat that I saw is, when is the era halacha that the charamim should be distributed to the kahanim of the Mishmar? That's only when the Beis HaMikdash is standing and there are Mishmaris operating. But when the Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately, is no longer standing, and there are, and the Mishmaris, therefore, are not operating, the halacha that charamim should be given to the Mishmar of that week no longer applies. Michas Chinuch asks a different question. We certainly, unfortunately, know that most kahanim after the Churban HaBayis were not kahanim miyuchasim. So how could you know when you're giving the chayim to the kohen that the individual you're giving to is really a kohen? So he says a very big chiddush. He says what you do is you give it to any individual who you believe is a kohen, and say that you should be zoichen it, not just on your own behalf, but be zoichen it as a member of the Kohuna family for all Kohanim. And that, he suggests, is legitimate, and therefore would be a way to, be able to give it to a Kohen, even though you're not certain there's a Kohen Miyuchas. Meisvei asked the Gemara, but obviously all of the opinions that we've been learning now in the Gemara are holding that Charamim are possible. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, it says in a Braisa, Ein Eved Ivri, Noig, El Bezman Shei Yovel Noig. The Halach of Eved Ivri is only in the time when there's Yovel. Most explain that the entire concept of Eved Ivri doesn't apply when there's no Yovel. Others say that you can have the din of Eved Ivri, but all the various rules that we learn in Parashas Mishpatim, that it goes out in 6 years, and the din of Matzeah, all of those rules don't apply when Yovel isn't there. Sheneva, at Shnas HaYovel Yav Imo. Vein Steyachuzo, the Lachos of Steyachuzo that we learned and will continue learning. Noyegos Elvis Mancha Yovel Noyeg. Shneva, V'yotzu B'Yovel V'shov Lachuzasoi. Ein Bati Arachayma, which we will discuss in the next parak of Mitzvah. The Dinim of Bati Arachayma, if you sell a house in a walled city, when you can redeem it, when you can't redeem it, Noyaget Elbez Man Shiyovel Noyeg. Only apply when Yovel is in a place. Shinema, La Yetze Be Yovel. Rav Shimon Yochayimer, Ein Stecha Romim Noyhagin Elbez Man Shiyovel Noyeg. Stecha Romim aren't applicable when the Yovel doesn't apply. Shinema, Vahoya Asad Betzeisa Be Yovel, Kodesh Lashem Kistea Cherim. Rav Shimon Alozoimer, Ein Ger Toshiv Noyeg Elbez Man Shiyovel Noyeg. The halacha of a ger toshiv, Gemara Masechtas Sanhedrin discusses that a ger toshiv, such an individual who's a non-Jew, who accepted upon himself, some say he accepted upon himself the zayin mitzvahs bnei noyach, some say it means that he accepted upon himself not to worship avodah zarah, some say that he accepted many other mitzvahs, and the halacha is that mitzvah lachiyosai, that such a ger toshiv, we have an obligation to support him if he needs to be supported. By a ger toshiv, there's a halacha that even though normally we may not sell property to an akum in Eretz Yisrael, to a ger toshiv, we may sell property in Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, I saw that the mefarshim, that the paiskim say, I saw a tshuva for Avozna and Shemin Alevi that discusses that when we sell chametz in Eretz Yisrael, and we sell the chametz to an akum, so one of the kinyanim we typically make is we sell him the property on which the chametz stands. But since we're not allowed to sell property in Eretz Yisrael to an akum, we should be careful, he says, therefore, not to sell him the property, only to rent him the property. And Amar Abibi, and Abibi explains, why does the din of ger toshiv not apply when yovel doesn't apply? My tama, ask your toif toif. Ksiv, hocha, it says regarding David Ivri. Ki toiv loy imach, the ksiv hosam, and it says regarding the ger toshiv, a toiv loy loy tenenu. And since, as we proved at the beginning of this braisa, that the din of David Ivri does not apply when Yovel doesn't apply, similarly will be the rule that the din of ger toshiv doesn't apply when yovel doesn't apply. But back to our question, the Gemara here was discussing what should be done with a cherim in Pumbedisa, but that was after the Churban Habayis. Certainly yovel was no longer being there was no yovel, so how could there be a din of cherim? Answers the Gemara, when is there halacha the cherim doesn't apply when yovel doesn't apply? That's the cherim on property, but the cherim on metatlin continue to apply. And the Mefarshim point out that our Gemara is following the opinion of Rav Shimon. We learned in our previous shiur on machloikis if we makish karka to metatlin. It was the opinion of Rav Shimon, based on Rav Shimon in a Mishnah, that says that he's not makish karka to metatlin, and therefore he could continue to say that cheirim of karka doesn't apply when yovel doesn't apply, but cheirim of metatlin do continue to apply. But ask the Gemara, for Meister Pumbedisa k'makarka namehava, was replying to karka. Answers the Gemara, makarka the chutzlaretz, karka chutzlaretz is k'metatlin et Yisrael, but it's treated like metatlin of et Yisrael. There is an interesting machloikis. We know that English born al kakos. Many times throughout Shas, the Gemara says that a shvu is not made on real estate. So now the question is, what will be the halacha regarding karka and chutzlaretz? If our Gemara just indicated that karka and chutzlaretz is treated like metatlin, now on metatlin we do make a shvu. What will be the din on karka and chutzlaretz? Do we make a shvuah on that? I think it's the opinion of most paiskim that we do not make a shvuah on karka, even on karka in chutzlaretz. So as we indicated earlier in our shir, Rabbi Shmuel needs to find the pasuk to teach us that the halacha is that you could be magdish, you could cherim eschal, a kachim 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 kalim. So Rabbi Shmuel says, kasav acher, oimer, what pasuk says regarding the Bukhar? The Torah says you should be magdishim. The kasvach, but there's another pasuk says that lo yagdish. It says ach b'char shivukal Hashem behema lo yagdish ish oisai. Says the mar if shelo metagdish, we can't say that you should be magdish. You could be magdish b'char. So if you're nemer, the pasuk clearly indicates lo yagdish that we cannot. On the other hand, the if shelo lo yagdish that we can't be magdishim. So if you're nemer tagdish. How do we reconcile these psukim? Magdishai aitzai kedish lili. To teach us that if somebody is magdish b'char, so he has a taivis hanol in the b'char, as we spoke about at the end of our previous year, because since the person who has a b'char born to him in his flock has the right to choose who should be the kayin, he has a right to choose who should be the kayin that should get that b'char. So if somebody pays him that it should be his grandson or whatever, that is acceptable. He had to magdish on gishim mizbeach, but you can't be magdishit, and that's how we know that cheirim is chal on it as well. He had to magdish, but on the other hand, you can't be magdishit hegdish mizbeach that you get a kedushas carbon. Ask the Gemara. So that's what how Rabbi Shmuel learns this. But Rabbanim, who already learned this din from the past, the Rabbanim, who already learned this din, as we learned at the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Chav Ches Amud Beis, from the pasuk of Kol Cheirim Kodesh Kedoshim V'Lashem, what will they do with these psukim that are stated by Bechor? Al Tagdish Riboy Leilalav teaches us that if one does Magdish Bechor is over a laugh, and as the Mefarshim explain, that even though we're going to learn a Mitzvah Shem in Masechta Temura, that it is the opinion of Abaya, Chamilsa the Amar Rachmana Leisavim, that if the Torah says don't do something, if you did it Mahani, it halachically could be effective. Here, there's no Malkus for doing this. It's a laugh Shem B'Maisa. The Torah is telling us that if somebody is Magdish Bechor, it's a meaningless act. And the Tagdish, what do Rabbanan learn from the word Tagdish? They need it for what we learned in the Braisa. How do you know somebody has a Bechor born to him in his herd? That even though it's Kaddish from when it's born, there's a mitzvah to be Magdashit. Shenemar Hazocha Tagdish. Rav Shmo, what does he say? There's no need to be Magdashit. Because he says, Eloi Magdashle, if you're not Magdashit like Kaddish, will it not be Kaddish anyway? It's Kaddish from the moment it's born. And therefore, since even if I was a Magdashit, Kaddish, it's Kaddish, but Tzarek Ledusha, there's no point in being Magdashit. Rabbanan, however, hold that you should be Magdashit. However, the Mepharshim point out that even the Rabbanan seemingly only hold this when the animal is going to be brought as a carbon. Bizman Azeh, where Bechor is not brought as a carbon, even they will agree that there's no point in expressly saying that it's Kaddosh. And there's a Machlaikis. The halacha is that the Bechor, that's not a Balmum, as we learned in Masechta Bechoris, is brought as a carbon. And we know that an animal cannot be brought as a carbon before it's 8 days old. And the question that they discuss is, according to Rabbanan, that there is a mitzvah to be magdish a bechor, bepeh. Can you fulfill that mitzvah even before the animal is 8 days old? Or must you wait till it's 8 days old when you will be able to actually be able to bring it as a carbon? The Mepharshim also say that even though our Gemara is speaking about animals, the Torah says, and we say this pasuk every morning, Kaddish li kol bechor, that when one is zoich baruch Hashem to have a bechor, a child of bechor, he too should say Kaddish li, I recognize that baruch Hashem kedusha has been brought to my house, bracha has been brought to my house. Our Mishnah goes back to discuss some of the halachas of Estei Achuza. Says the Mishnah, Hamaycha Sadeh v'shtei shasi yovel. If somebody sells his Estei Achuza in the Yovel year, so the halacha is that it could be redeemed, but the Torah teaches us, Einoi muta ligo paks m'shtei shonim. We're not allowed to redeem it before 2 years after you sold it. Shnema v'mis b'shnei tfuas himachala. And as the Rishonim explain, the reason the Torah instituted this rule is because people are attached to their Estei Achuza, but if they're going to think that they could sell it and immediately buy it back whenever they want, they're going to be more likely to sell it. And the Torah doesn't want people to sell their Estei Achuza. So by saying that you can't buy it back for 2 years, it's going to prevent people from selling it, which actually is related to a machlokes rishayim. As we will see in the Gemara, the halacha is that if the person who sold the Estei Achuza doesn't redeem it, there's a mitzvah for his relatives to redeem it. So the rishayim discuss is this 2 year rule that we learned just now in the Mishnah apply to the relatives as well, or only to the actual person who owned the field? And the Mepharshim bring a raya that it only applies to the person who owned the field. Because we remember in Megillas Rus that when Naomi returned to Eretz Yisrael, she sold off the properties that Abimelech owned, and then Rus asked Boaz to redeem those properties, being that he was a relative of Avimelech. Now she asked him to redeem those properties when it was less than 2 years from when Naomi had sold them. So from here we see that the 2 year rule was only said to the person who owned the property, not to his relatives. And according to the explanation given by the Rishonim, it's very understandable, because it's only the person who sold the property that we want to realize that if you sell your property, you're not going to be able to easily or quickly get it back, and that's going to prevent it from selling. And that's why by him the Torah said you need to wait 2 years. Others don't have that rule, and therefore they can be paid immediately. Which perhaps leads us to another machlokes rishonim. The rishonim debate if this 2-year rule was set only by stay achuza, or does it apply by stay mikne as well. If we're going to say that the Torah here is reflecting on the special relationship that should exist with a stay achuza, so maybe this 2-year rule was said only by stay achuza. Otherwise, we could say, and that is, as I said, the Machlokes Rishonim, Rambam and the Chinuch, if it applied by stay mikne as well. Says the Mishnah, but if there were a year, then nothing grew. And as the Rishonim point out, it's referring to a situation that the entire world's crops were affected, not just this one individual's, or the Shemitah year, and therefore obviously the field could not be worked on. And an oilman and minion, it doesn't get counted into the 2-year rule. Noro, but if you buy or plow the field and didn't reap it from it anything, oilaviro, or you left it empty, then oilman and minion. Rav Elazar Omer, Marcheloi lefnei Rosh Hashanah, if the field was sold right before Rosh Hashanah, the Malay Paris, and it's full of produce, so as soon as I buy it, I cut on the buyer, so I get one crop, and now I keep it for 2 more years so I can have 2 more crops. I raise the oichel and show us tvuas. Even though I only keep it for the minimum 2 years, I may end up having 3 crops b'shtei shonim in those 2 years. And as the Mefarshim explained, what the Mishnah is trying to teach us is that even though normally we know that 30 days of a year, shloshim yom b'shana, is considered like a shana, so maybe if it was sold 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, and then Rosh Hashanah comes, we would think that it's already considered that the 1 year has passed. Teaches us the Gemara that it's not considered like that. It has to be 2 full years. So we learned in the Mishnah, Hamoich Sadei B'Shas HaYovel, if you sell your field in the Yovel year, it has to be by the buyer for 2 years. Says the Gemara, Ein a goyel loit kani. The Mishnah doesn't just say that you shouldn't redeem it. Ela, in a mutter legoyel. The Mishnah is much stronger. The Mishnah says that you're not allowed to redeem it. Alma, kesavi isur nami ikka. There's an issa to redeem it before that time. And therefore, afilu karkushe zuze nami asa. One may not jingle money in front of the buyer to get him to agree to sell. The loy by meicher, and certainly the meicher may not do it. The kaibas say, because the pasuk says the mispah shnei tvuos yimachla al filo nami kaibas al keich nami kaibas say the binon shonan tikna. You have to have it at least by the buyer for 2 years for lekum. There is a machloikus v'shoinim if they did sell it back in 2 years. They certainly did an isser, as our Gemara just taught us, but would it be considered valid? There's also a machlokes achronim. If the buyer returned it to the seller, not for money, he just gave it back to him, is that also considered that he was over the issur?
If somebody sells a field in the Yovel year itself, Rav Amar, Mechura, the sale is considered a valid sale of the Yotza, but because it's Yovel, it immediately gets returned to the seller. The Shmuel Amar ain't a Mechura Kalikah. The sale isn't totally invalid. My Kam the Shmuel, what is the basis for Shmuel's opinion? It says the Gemara, because Shmuel makes the following Kal V'Chomer. Umar Mechura Kvar. If a field that was already previously sold to Yovel, previously Yovel sold, Yotza goes out in the Yovel year, Shaina Mechura, a field that wasn't sold, and it didn't like the market, that the sale should not be valid. Alefuna, Elorav asked the Gemara, Lomrin Kal V'Chomer Kagavna, isn't this a legitimate Kal V'Chomer? But Tanya, Daven we learned the Braisa, that the Braisa says, Yochel Yimka Adam Espitik Shinara, that a man should be allowed to sell his daughter while she's a Nara, says the Gemara following Kavachaymer. Umam Chur Kfar. If a girl was sold when she was a Kana, when she's a Nara, Yoitz Asher, she goes out, She'ena Mechura. So if she wasn't sold, She'ena Din Shleitim Mokha, she should not be able to be sold. Answer the Gemara, it's not a good comparison, says Rav. Hasam, by a girl, once she becomes a Nara, Loi Mahadrim is Dabna, she can never be sold anymore. Hacha, whereas this field, Hadrim is Dabra. Since afterwards it can be sold again, so you can't compare the two situations. After Yovel can be sold again. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, Acha HaYovel, Shonim Tikna. Melamit Shama, Moichim Samach LeYovel. This pasuk teaches us that we could sell a field immediately after the Yovel. Mufled Minayim. How do you know it's a long time after the Yovel? There are not that many years left to Yovel. You could still sell the field. Shana, Tamalayim Lefi, Roiva Shana Mata Shana. Whether there is many or few years left, you could sell the field. Or Shnasa Yovel Atma. In the Yovel year, it says, La Yimkur, the Makar Eina Mechura. So isn't this price a clearly contradictory to Rav? And as the Farshim say, even though the Ritva says, even though the Gemara could have theoretically said, Rav Tanahu Upala, the Rav argued with the Braisa, the Gemara tries to avoid using that teretz. Answers Rav, Eina Mechura L'mispa Shnei Tfus. The Aracha, that you sell it and it's redeemed according to the price, and we'll speak about this more in Mitzvah Shema tomorrow's year, that you take the value of what you sold it with the amount of years that there were from when you sold it to Yovel to determine how much each year is worth, that rule won't apply. A Mechurihi V'yotza, the sale is a valid sale, and then it goes right back to the seller. Ask the Gemara, V'yaz Dubna Mizdabna. But if we're saying that it is considered a valid sale, take a reshus at Basa Yovel, why doesn't remain by the buyer until after Yovel? Or Basa Yovel, then after Yovel, Nechlesh Tetfus, the buyer should get his 2 years, and then Vinahadra, and then and only then should it be returned to the seller. For says the Gemara, Miloy Tanya, have we not learned the Braisa, that if it was sold before Yovel, and the buyer, only ate it, only had the opportunity to consume produce for 1 year before the Yovel. We give him the extra year after to make up. So here too, when it was sold in the Yovel year, shouldn't we let the buyer get his 2 years after the Yovel year? And then, according to Rav, who holds that the sale is valid, only then have the buyer return it to the seller? Answered the Gemara, no. Hasam, where it was sold before Yovel, and for whatever reason, the buyer only got 1 year to eat it. So once he got 1 year to eat it, we give him the chance to finish his term. Hasam nachas lachila, his term being 2 years. Hacha, whereas here, le nachas lachila, since it was sold in the Yovel year, he never got his, never had a chance, he never should have had a chance to eat from this produce. So here the halacha is that it's sold, the sale is considered a sale, and he must immediately return it because of the Yovel year, according to the opinion of Rav.